bringing the stories of people just like us directly into your home and learning more about them. This is Trent Speaks. And it's Trent Speaks with a live guest this week. I told my guests, you know, usually these are a little bit different than when I do a phone interview. I just do these in one take and we make it up as we go and see how it goes. Dog in the background, so if you hear the dog, well, it's because there's a dog here. A couple of weeks ago when I was in Marquette, I was at the Ore Dock, which is one of my favorite breweries. Me and a couple people, actually, because it's a fantastic brewery. And as I was sitting there with my wife, this guy walked by, and I was wearing a shirt for the school that I currently work at. And he goes, "Oh, did you go there?" And I said, "No, just visiting here in town, and I work there right now." And he had actually transferred from that brewery to the Ore Dock. And he was actually a brewmaster at the Ore Dock. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. And it really shows you how small of a world it is sometimes. Talking about a small world, this person, we've tried to get on the podcast multiple times. And really, it's failure on our own part of not following through and going back and forth on what was going to happen. But we actually went to Marquette together for the weekend a few weeks ago. And so I want to welcome in my friend Megan. Hello, Megan.
Hi.
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 How are you?
I'm okay. This is really weird.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, it could also be weird because Megan said, and I had to write this down, before we started recording, Megan said, like, "Is this okay for you?" And I was like, "Yeah, this is fine." She goes, "I think we need a candle. Like, we need to, like, set the mood or something." I was like, okay, I didn't know there was a certain podcasting mood. Maybe that's what I've been missing out on in the podcast, is
maybe
not podcasting with a candle.
Do you smell that vanilla pumpkin?
I do.
Setting the tone.
Setting the tone, setting the mood for the podcast. So Megan's from Illinois originally, as although the animal comes to greet us. Megan's from Illinois originally, but went to Northern. And that's how we met, was at Northern, through Dylan, who was on the podcast in week 2 or 3, which seems like so long ago. It was back in February that we started.
Dang.
And Megan was an RA on campus, but you were you not a transfer student to Northern?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always curious when people find like these remote institutions of middle of nowhere. How did you find out about Northern and what is that made you want to go there?
Yeah, it's actually kind of embarrassing to say out loud why I chose Northern, but I found Northern through, I was going to community college and they had a like college fair there and Northern was one of the schools that was there and I was walking.
You have to be a little bit closer.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to like lean in about to like start a news broadcast.
I don't want to lick it again.
Ew. Yeah, she was like, "What if I lick it?" And then actually licked it.
Unintentionally. Okay, where was I? College fair at my community college in Illinois. Northern Michigan was one of the booths there, so I was walking around, and on their brochure, they have this really cool picture of Black Rocks and, like, these students sitting on Black Rocks and studying, and then the lake in the background. And I just said, "I need to go there," based on this picture on the brochure for Northern Michigan. And then I went and visited the school, and as I think everyone who has been there falls in love with Northern, with the community, with Marquette, and that's it.
That's and it was a lot different when we went a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
It was. It is. I think, like, every city changes, especially when you're not around to witness it. But, yeah, it's very different from when I visited for the first time before even going to school there and then from when I graduated to now. But it's cool.
Were you a fan of the changes when you went a couple weeks ago?
I think so. I don't know. It seems like there's more stuff going on in the community, which isn't a bad thing.
What was your degree while you were at Northern?
My degree was clinical lab science, molecular genetics. Oh, now I don't know. It's been so long since I've graduated. Yeah. Molecular biology? It's a clinical lab
science. Well, whatever
science.
Molecular it is.
Yeah, whatever.
I guess, what does that all entail?
So clinical lab science is a pretty specific degree revolving around clinical labs and like learning a lot of the different techniques that you use across any lab. I don't know if you know, there's a bunch of different types of labs, right? You have hematology and cytopathology and cytogenetics and molecular genetics, and all do different types of testing. And you're just, during your degree, I guess, learning all different types of techniques that you can apply to those and how to, like, how a lab works and clinically and research-wise. And then in your last, probably your last year of schooling, you get more specific with whatever pathway you choose. And I chose the molecular route. So
98%, 99% of people listening, I can almost guarantee, you don't have a medical background. What are, like, those big words you were just using, like hematology? And, like, what is the super, for me, dumbed-down version of, like, wow, this is the average idiot in America that I really need to explain it to? Like, if I was a kindergartner, I mean, obviously, you're probably not explaining that stuff to a kindergartner on a daily basis.
You never know. Yeah, so I guess I don't want to incorrectly say, like, what hematology actually is. But if we just think about it in general, you go to the doctor and you get your blood drawn because they're going to run some different type of testing, whether that's like testing your white blood cell count or, I don't know, I haven't been to the doctor in a while, so I don't remember what kind of testing they do. But they'll send those samples to the lab. And then those, depending on what type of testing they're looking for, determines what lab it goes to. So I can really only talk about my lab specifically. I work in cytogenetics, and we're looking at your chromosomes or your DNA and determining if there's deletions or duplications and then relating those to different diseases, whether that's trisomy 21 or Down syndrome or 22q deletion. Just like diagnosing those different types of things.
What is it that got you interested in the medical field? I've always said I think it takes a special kind of person, like in a good way, of course, to get into the medical field, because for me, I was never, I like science, but I was never big into like chemistry and biology. I was more like, I like Bill Nye science.
Okay.
How did you get into this degree field as a career path?
Yeah. Going in high school, I knew I liked science. I also liked psychology, liked a lot of different subjects. And I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And so I.
Typical.
Right. So I went to community college to save some money and hopefully figure that out. And I ended up really liking the biology and like all my laboratory classes. I really enjoyed that and was just trying to find something that would be similar to like working in a lab setting, and I kind of fell upon this CLS or clinical lab science and went with it from there.
So what brought you to this interesting state of Minnesota then?
Well, Mayo Clinic, they have a great lab setting here. And I think the biggest push, maybe not push, the biggest reason I came here was Northern Michigan partners with Mayo Clinic with their CLS program. Mm-hmm. And so my last semester, I did an internship here in Rochester, Minnesota, and then came back for a job that pays.
And I know we were just talking about Northern Michigan and the Marquette area. Do you ever see yourself? I think that often we fall in love with the place. And I know my wife and I have talked about going back up there one day and when the time is right, settling down up there. Is that a place you ever see yourself going back to as in living one day? Or is that more a place that you would rather not lose the charm, not lose the effect, and just go back and visit every now and again.
I think I would love to live there. I'd really enjoy it, and I think Dylan would enjoy it, and our dog, who loved it when we were there, so he would enjoy living there. But the reality is that I don't think there's really a career for me since I'm in the molecular field, and there's not really anything there right now. So I don't know if I'll ever make it to living there, but I would like to.
Is that a competitive field, the molecular field?
I don't think it's competitive, but usually there's opportunities in bigger cities for like, and I like the clinical lab setting as opposed to research, and those are usually in bigger hospitals. So.
And I would imagine that like any job, there's going to be tasks that you do day in, day out that are the same, but I could also see this being a career field where there is always something new that's coming up or something kind of always keeping you on your toes where you have to continually learn all the new things and there's always something different. I can expect that maybe you don't know what to expect when you walk into work on some days. Would that be the case sometimes or that things are always kind of changing and evolving?
I don't know. Maybe not in my lab per se, because the technique that we're using is pretty steady, you know. It's not been around a long time. I'm in microarray, if any of you know what that means. But that type of technology and technique is fairly new. There are better types of testing that do similar things that we're doing, but pretty consistent. I think the only variance is how many samples and that we're getting in. So we might have a lot of things to do, but it's still the same things every day.
Keeps you busy though.
It does. It definitely does. Yeah. Sometimes I swamped.
I know you were just talking about your dog. You know, I've had parents of children on the podcast before, and so I've asked them kind of like, what's parenting like? Like, what do you see as the biggest challenge? What do you like about it? And I, from owning a dog myself back in the day, I believe that having a dog is, now I was never a parent, so I can't say for sure, but I would imagine somewhat like parenting. I mean, you have to take care of this. You have to make sure that they're being well fed, well taken care of, up to date on their shots and everything. What would you say has been the most difficult part of dog ownership? You've had your dog for what, about a year?
Yeah, almost a year.
A year, okay.
Most difficult part, putting in the time. You know, I think a dog isn't as needy maybe as children would be. But there's,
well, it depends on the dog.
Yeah. But putting in the time to train it, you know, feeding it's easy, opening the door to let it go outside's easy, but having a well-behaved dog that we want to take out in public, you know, go on hikes with them or even take them to the brewery and have them hang out with us takes effort and time. And sometimes, you know, life comes first, and you, when you get home from work, you just want to chill. Netflix and chill in the literal sense. So yeah, sometimes that's hard to put in the time and commitment to making sure he's a well-behaved pet animal child.
Well, then what would you say is the most rewarding part?
The love that they give you unconditionally. You know, we went and bathed him today.
We did, and it went much better than Dylan expected it to go. Dylan wasn't with us, but he didn't really say nice things in preparation for us to go.
Yeah, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy, and he definitely gave me the stink eye the whole time, and I could tell he was not happy.
Although, not Dylan.
Although, my dog, you know, he wasn't happy with me while we were bathing him, but we got home, I gave him a treat, and now he loves me again. So
so from Illinois to Michigan to Minnesota, really you've been all over the place. I know you've been even more all over the place than just those three states. Talk to me about the different travels you've done. I know that you and Dylan have made trips to national parks. I know you most recently expanded beyond the country and went to Peru. Yeah. Kind of talk to me about those trips?
Ooh, what to say? I mean, every trip that we've gone on has been a different experience, but equally as rewarding and amazing. We've been to Yellowstone and Glacier National Park. We've done the Black Hills in South Dakota. And then most recently, we went to Peru. I don't know. Like, what do you...
Like, what is usually the driving factor of, hey, let's go here or let's go there? Like, where does the idea come from? Is it just kind of up out of the blue, or is that something that you've always wanted to do?
I feel like it's at the seat of our pants. Like, hey, I have some time off. Like, where are we going to go? Let's go to Glacier. That was our trip, not this past summer, but the previous summer. And our intention was to go to Glacier National Park because I saw a picture, thought it was beautiful. Kind of like my experience with Northern was like, hey, I got to go there.
Yeah.
So we did. Ended up being super crowded and we couldn't really find places to sleep at night, which drove me insane. So we're like, oh, like Yellowstone's not that far away. Let's go check that out instead since this is too crazy here. So we ended up in Yellowstone and checked that out.
Worth it though?
Totally worth it. It was beautiful, unforgettable, and frustrating.
Why was it frustrating?
I mean, just like, I like to know what I'm doing and having a plan, even if it's just like a rough plan, but something a little set in stone. And I don't think Dylan's the same way. So it was challenging to just be okay with changes too, like planning to go to Glacier when we left and ending up in Yellowstone. But we made it work. So I guess frustrating isn't fair, but.
So being flexible and having a little bit of spontaneity.
Yeah, that's a better...
Being spontaneous.
Yeah, better word choice.
And then talk to me about Peru. I'm sure that was an awesome trip. How long were you there? What did you do while you were there? Is there anything that you went knowing, like, I want to see this in Peru? Or I guess you were just saying Dylan's more of a spontaneous guy. Was he the planner this time?
He was the planner. I think he plans most of the trips because I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I mean, it's obvious now because I'm going to tell you I chose Peru because I saw a picture of Machu Picchu.
Oh my gosh.
It was like,
back to the pictures.
That's where I want to go. And that was my only requirement was that we need to see Machu Picchu. And then Dylan kind of planned the rest around that. It was beautiful. Amazing. Totally different experience. You know, it's a different country, so not the same as the United States. But
what is that? I think I've been to Thailand before, and when I was in Thailand, I realized what it is that we take advantage of here. I guess, what do you think that we take for advantage here that we don't really necessarily think about? What is it that you saw in Peru that you were like, wow, we really take it for granted in the United States that we have this. So when I was in Thailand, it was, wow, we really take for granted that we have running water and water that we can shower with endlessly, typically.
Yeah, I think that's a big one, is the water source is like, we can just turn on our tap and have running water. Where in Peru, yeah, most places have running water, but you can't drink that.
Right.
Or you shouldn't be drinking it. They don't have the same.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Hey. I literally have two bags of popcorn in my hand.
Of course, Lauren.
And welcome, Lauren.
Right, and welcome, Lauren.
Hey.
Hey.
Sorry.
It's okay. We're just talking about Peru.
Yeah, we're talking about Peru.
Yeah.
Hold on. Listen.
Get down.
Cuddle your dog.
Okay.
Was that your first time out of the country?
It was. Oh, okay. My God. I was so nervous. Because you don't really, I mean, you can read about as many things as you want, but you still don't actually know what to expect,
that's
right?
Fair. And yeah.
It was a little nerve-wracking. Like, what if I got kidnapped? You know, that's a concern.
I mean, I'm glad you didn't.
I'm glad I didn't either. But it was worth it, worth the nerves, because in the end, it was everything that I hoped for, I guess.
Was it worth seeing Machu Picchu since you saw the picture? Was it more than the picture?
Oh, my gosh. It was incredible. Just to be standing there. I can't even like put it into words. It was very cool. Very cool. what a lame description.
No, cool. It wasn't not lame. Megan, what do you like to do in your free time? I know you're a knitter. Is that like a verb? Knitter? You knit.
I knit. Yeah. I like to knit and I like to sleep. I like to watch Netflix.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
I'm rewatching Gossip Girl. Okay. Because I'm a typical
XOXO
white girl XOXO. Gossip Girl. That's perfect. Clearly you've seen it too.
I have. It's a show I've fallen asleep to many times, but yes, I have watched my fair share of Gossip Girl. Thank you, Leanne.
Yep, Gossip Girl. Just got done watching Riverdale with Lauren, which I think we're going to start up today, so you get to experience that, Trent.
I was telling Megan earlier, I watched like 10 minutes of Riverdale, and that was about enough Riverdale for me. I would rather just like try to Riverdale dance on my own, I don't even know if that's what the show's
what
about.
What is Riverdale dancing?
I think it's something like an Irish dance, kind of like tap dancing, but like it's a mix of tap dancing and rockettes. I don't know if that's real.
Are you making this up?
I could be. But it sounds really cool, I think.
Yeah, I think the show is equally as cool.
Well, to each
their own. We'll
see. Do you watch Making a Murderer at all?
I watched some of it.
The first season?
Yeah, I got bored.
You didn't finish.
I did not finish. I felt like every episode just reiterated the same things over and over.
So my guess is if I ask, have you watched any of season two? The answer is no.
Correct. I have not.
All right. Well, that's boring because we can't talk about Making a Murderer then.
Sorry.
Let's just real quick before we wrap up, talk about the Ragnar. So the Ragnar is the race that, if you remember correctly, Megan conned me into running this race.
Whoa. I did not con you. I asked you, and I told you what you were in for.
Right, so this was a Thursday before the Tough Mudder, and Megan called me and said, hey, would you be interested in running this Ragnar? And I was like, what is it? She's like, well, it's a 15-mile race. And I was like, holy shit, what? But then I asked Megan, all right, well, what's in it for me? Food and a medal. So I stopped Megan and said, a medal? Sign me up. But we were just talking about that earlier in the car. We don't know how we survived.
No. And
And how we didn't get injured. Well, I got injured, but it could have been a lot worse. It took longer to get injured than I thought it was going to.
Yeah. I am surprised I didn't barf. I'm surprised that I finished all three runs. I'm surprised you're alive.
I know, me too. How much training would you say that you did? Zero.
I'm embarrassed to say, like...
No, you can say it, because I'll say I barely did any training.
I really didn't. And I felt it. I felt the not training, you know? It was tough, mentally and physically.
I learned that trail running... When I envisioned trail running, I thought, okay, just running on, like, dirt trails. I didn't envision, like... stumps and roots and rocks yeah. and falling on two different courses. That was really, I can't think of the word right now, but strenuous.
It was almost. In like different ways, right? Like long distance running is, I think, difficult and strenuous. And then running on a trail is a different type of strenuous and difficult, right? My ankles did hurt from like trying to balance jumping on these rocks and roots and stuff and not falling on my face. But
sometimes I was like, ooh, parkour.
Right. Yeah. Jump off. Click my heels once.
Yeah. It was very taxing on the body. I felt like
it was
a very great sense of accomplishment once we were done.
True that. And I think I loved all the relationships that were built and strengthened and the friends that we made. And
Lauren.
Yeah. Shout out, Lauren. I think that experience in itself is worth it.
Yeah. Megan, so as we wrap up, as always, 100% of the time, my last question is always, what is it that you want others to learn or take away? Like, whether it's something we talked about today or something we haven't talked about, what is it that you would want to share with the, like, 7 to 12 listeners that are on this podcast?
Yeah. Ooh, what a good question. I think that I would like to share a lesson that I've learned in life and that I hope to teach my children that is related to nothing that we have talked about. But I believe that it is important in life to be able to laugh at yourself.
As you do.
As I do all the time. And I feel like I don't like crack jokes to make other people's laugh. Feel like I live my life of however that I want and am not afraid to say, Megan, you are ridiculous right now, even when I'm home alone. And that's okay. And I think that's important just in life and to help you get through it.
Perfect. I think that's good. Cool. All right. So what I've been doing is typically like I sign off, right? And I'm like, all right, we'll see you next week. Who knows what to expect? Blah, 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 boring trend. Whenever I do these, what I call a live podcast, where it's not a phone interview, I let you sign off. So take it away, Megan. Yeah, don't mess this up.
Yeah.
Whatever you want to say. Whatever you want to say.
The most pressure. Well, it was great talking with you, Trent.
Well, I talked to you, but yeah, same thing. Okay.
It was a great conversation.
Yes, thank you.
I hope listeners enjoyed it. And I think that we should sign off with a lovely that we learned.
Oh, boy.
In yoga today. Trent did yoga. Ask him about it. Maybe he'll talk about it next week. But,
Okay, let's just quick talk about the end of yoga here. So when you end this yoga class, they want to do like 3 like inhales, and then when you exhale, it's like, Okay, every single time. I don't know how I didn't bust out laughing audibly, but I laughed to myself, and I cracked a smile every single time because I couldn't take it seriously. The third time, I couldn't even do it. I had to like close my mouth and stop early because I was going to laugh. So we'll just say that we ended with these ohms on this podcast.
It was a great experience. I felt connected with myself. Yeah. If you haven't tried yoga, you should try yoga.
All right. You tell the people that we'll see them next week back here, same time, same place.
I think you just did that.
No, you got to sign off.
I don't. Okay, bye.
Close enough. Goodbye.